Channel Radio.
It's 1 o'clock.
Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the superbly lovely Zeenat Narani.
I'm not so stonkingly like yours.
No, you can't be stonkingly gorgeous. You can be stunningly lovely, though.
Oh, I'm so missing Jules.
Get well soon, Jules. And her new husband have gone down with a lurgy.
Yes, they have.
There's lots of wailing and gnashing of teeth going on over there in Whitstable as they flail around with their poorly health. But I'm sure they'll get well soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I like her tweeting.
She's what? She's tweeting?
Well, yeah, she said, have a great BB show. This is the first I've ever missed in 14 years. Chin chin, bottoms up. Love the green juice.
Yeah, I've no idea what that is. Slime in a glass. That's a bit of a misnomer. She has missed one that I can remember, because I'll tell a story about it. When we first started, we were down on the Romney Marsh at Hagland's Farm, and I used to get there early in the morning because I had to clear up. I had to clear up all the alpaca poo from the door and stuff like that. And I used to get down there early in the morning, like 8:30, 9 o'clock. And for a 1 o'clock show. And I got there and I tied it up and I cleaned the toilets and I did all the work that I normally do. And then it was getting close to the time when people would start arriving and nobody arrived. So I rang Jules and I went, where are you? And she said, at home. And I said, why aren't you coming? And she said, have you looked out the window? I went, no. She said, look out the window. And there was about 4 feet of snow. Right? It snowed really heavily while I was indoors, so nobody could get there, okay? So I go out, and my car snowed in. I can't go anywhere, and nobody else can get to the studio. So I actually did 18 hours of broadcasting.
From home?
No, I was in the studio already. So I just sat in the studio and did everyone's show for them.
Oh, fantastic.
it was bonkers. It was absolutely bonkers.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So you missed that one, Jules. So you've missed one, I think, anyway. I always like to, you know, start an argument with her.
I know, she's not here to defend herself.
I know.
Easy tiger.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
I'll defend you, Jules.
Yeah, I can say whatever I like. There's nothing she can do. She'll ring in a minute.
Yeah. Bring, bring.
Cool. Anyway, so how are you?
Great.
Good.
Apart from just recovering from COVID. Like,
isn't everyone?
The whole population.
Yeah, isn't everyone? Jason, our guest, has recently had it.
Yeah, he started it in our gang.
Did he?
I'm not so sure about that.
And our other guest today went down with it over the weekend. So and luckily we were able to record our interview with Sam. And get well soon, Sam. I hope you're feeling
absolutely
better already.
Get well.
But everybody's falling like flies with it. My poor old mum had it as well.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Anyway, we'd love to hear from you, all the people out there listening to the show. You can tweet us, as you normally do. Tweet me at Vanilla Web or Zeenat Narani. That is your Twitter handle,
Zeenat underscore Narani, yeah.
Is it? Zeenat underscore Narani, N-O-O-R-A-N-I. I could spell it.
Right.
I was halfway there.
Just in case.
She's taken over already, Jason. Right. She's only been in here 5 minutes and she's taken over.
I am on the other side. It's a bit bizarre being on the other side.
Yeah, because Zeenat does a fantastic show called Mindset Matters on a Friday, 10 to 11:30. Is that right?
No, 12.
Pardon?
10:30 to 12.
Okay.
See, you don't know much about me.
10:30 to 12, yeah. And that's certainly worth a listen. So give it a listen because it's a really fantastic show. Anyway, we've got two guests to hear from in the show today. We've got loads of things to talk about, loads of tweets coming in, loads of emails to read. But I saw something yesterday that fascinated me. The Kent Wildlife Trust have invested £1.5 million in introducing a wild herd of bison into the Kent countryside. In fact, into Blean Woods in Canterbury. They've reintroduced a herd. They said it was a herd, but when I drilled down, it's actually four.
Herds, you mean?
No, four bison.
Four bison.
As I say, but they're the nearest relative to a steppe bison. And the steppe bison was an indigenous bison of the United Kingdom at the end of the last ice age. 12,000 years ago. They've imported their nearest living relative from Poland and set them free in Blean Woods.
Nice.
So if you're walking in Blean Woods and you come across an 18-foot bison, I'd run if I were you.
I was about to say that. You know, what do you do if you've faced in front of one?
Exactly.
Don't run across the A21. Last night I was coming back down the A21 towards Loch's Bottom. And two massive deer just run out.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that happen before.
Yeah.
Straight into the road. Really lucky that it didn't cause an accident.
It's funny, you know, and I've got no objection to reintroducing this wildlife, but you have to think about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Where I live in Tenterton, and where I used to live, out the back of Tenterton, in the big storm in 1980, there was the Wild Breed Centre, and a load of wild boar got out. And that area of Wealden Forest is the ideal habitat for wild boar. So there's a huge colony of really wild boar that live there. Mm. Yeah. The farmer next door to me, Chris, was driving down the road in a Land Rover, and some piglets ran across the road. And the sow was, you know, they get really violent if you get anywhere near their piglets. The sow didn't like it at all. The sow actually charged his Land Rover and put a massive dent in the front of it where she hit it full pelt. And Chris was saying, if I hadn't have been in a Land Rover, that would have taken my legs off completely. You know, and they're also talking about reintroducing wolves back into.
Oh, nice!
Know, which is great until everybody's cat goes missing, isn't it?
What about the poor foxes? They'll go missing first.
Yeah.
There's going to be a standoff between the two.
It's not so nice if you stumble across one on a dog walk. You're going to be a bit.
We'll be all dressed up in leaves as cavemen again, I think.
I know, but it's interesting.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens with those bison and how they thrive or don't, you know, and what people's reaction to it is to come across them in the wild. Yeah,
because they're not a small beast, are they?
No, they're huge things. They're big animals.
Yeah. Hey, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Cool. What you got, Zena?
Well, there's a tweet in from Fruitworks, and they want, can we have a BB Bunker shout out, please, Zenat? Our latest Fruitworks small meeting rooms, the Green Room, is now open and ready to hire by the hour, half day or day in Canterbury City Centre. Looks amazing. Looks like I'd want my living room to be like that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's
That's a place I need to go and see.
Yeah, it's only £5 an hour to hire as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Bargain, eh?
Definitely. So, go check out the details. Fruitworks.co.
That's it. Fruitworks.co.
Co. There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice and simple.
Yeah.
Nice and simple,
exactly.
Yeah.
I've got this press release from Bereford's Chartered Accounting. They've signed a deal to merge with Hillgrove's accountants. Established in 1958, Beresford's one of the longest-standing accountants in Kent, continues to grow and is now one of the largest in the area. On the 1st of April, is that a good day to do it? On the 1st of April, Hillgrove's Accountancy will merge with and become Beresford's Chartered Certified Accountants, and that will mean that they go from four partners to five partners. The partners are Philip Hindle, Dan Payne, Chris Dodd, Mark Minus, that's a good name for an accountant, isn't it? And Julian Glenister. We did have Chris Dodd on the show a few weeks ago talking about that. They'd just taken over the Canterbury Small Business Department of McIntyre Hudson as well. So a Kent firm that are growing like mad. Congratulations to them.
Well, that's fantastic. I can't get over to Mark Minus.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. It's like there's a whole meme about it on the internet, and there was an interview with a policeman whose name was Rob Banks.
Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, have you seen it?
No, I've not seen that one. Great, wonderful name.
Yeah, you couldn't make it up, could you?
No, absolutely not.
So,
Jules, Jules is not forgotten. Paragon Drones. Morning, Paul and Zeynep. We would love a mention. I've just mentioned them.
You have.
And get well soon, Jules.
Yeah, that's lovely, folks. That's Neil at Paragon Drones. Yeah. Regular listeners to the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Have a big shout out. They do. They're an interesting company. They don't only do drones up in the air. They do drones in enclosed spaces as well.
Is that like the house? And they go into houses and do the whole drones.
Yeah, they also go into pipes, properties, and pipe works and stuff like that.
That's skillful. I tried using one in the back garden, and I couldn't even keep it within the fenced area.
Yeah.
Actually, that's great. I must connect with them, because that might be something that I'd quite like to use for the business at some point.
Absolutely.
Properties, that'd be good.
Yeah, that way, when Phil was doing my mum's roof, the guttering, if you'd use a drone, he wouldn't have had to climb up there and kind of moan about it.
It's great footage. If we're doing the abseiling on like large buildings, that would get some really good shots. So, I'll connect with him.
Neville Gaunt's been on. He says, I'm looking for short stories from business owners, employees to be included in the next versions of his book series, which is called Everything You Should Have Learned at School But Didn't. Yeah.
Ooh.
And the topics he's looking for stories on are finance, relationships, branding and entrepreneurship.
Nice.
You can follow Neville on the Twitter. His Twitter handle is just Neville Gaunt, which is his name. If you'd like to contribute something, an article or a story, then please feel free to do that.
Brilliant.
And you can also download the first copy of the book, Everything You Should Have Learned at School But Didn't. It's a free download.
I love a freebie.
Yeah. It's a good book as well.
Is it?
Yeah. Again, it's a book of wisdom provided by lots of different people.
Fantastic.
And you'll get people's experience from it. Sort of
exactly.
It's not just a hearsay thing. So it's something experience people have gone through.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's really useful.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a lot more valuable as well. Yeah. And this must be sort of the reply to it. Athol Bray Limited, replying to Neville Gaunt, I guess. A great initiative. There's much to be learned from those who may not have been academic achievers, but who have many skills that are beneficial in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
And there are those of us that weren't very good academically and have got no nonsense at all in the real world either. No.
Well, I was never great. Look at where I'm now. Great.
Right. What should we talk about? We've got some cheesy tunage coming up before we talk to Jason about his work. Go on.
I was just going to say, so I've just... looking at something I found this morning, because I was up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Why?
Because my eyes opened up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Had you been asleep?
I had been asleep.
Had you been in bed asleep, or had you fallen asleep in the armchair?
No. I was actually in bed, snuggled up in my duvet with my hot blanket.
Right, and then you woke up?
Then I woke up.
You went to bed too early, didn't you?
I always go to bed around sort of between 9 and 10.
You went to bed too early, didn't you?
It's definitely too early.
Yeah, it's definitely too early.
No, that's my bedtime.
Well, obviously not, because you woke up at 1 o'clock.
I just have all these wonderful thoughts that go through my mind, that keep me up at night.
I bet.
Moving on.
Yeah. We won't discuss that on air, I don't think.
I did mention a few things to you earlier on, didn't
you
I, Paul?
You did, actually.
For my Rocky Horror Show.
Yeah, exactly,
My outfit.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, moving on swiftly.
Moving on. No, this was just really, really lovely. And I thought, it really got me thinking, because there was this tweet by somebody on there talking about burnt toast.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And I'm just going to read. It's a bit lengthy, but I'm going to quickly read it.
Go for it. Yeah.
So they tweeted in saying, one evening, my mother made dinner after a hard day's work. She put a plate of eggs, salad and burnt toast in front of my father. I immediately noticed the burnt toast and I was waiting to see if he was going to complain about it. But my father started to eat them, smiling, and asked me how I spent my school day. My mum apologised to my dad for the burnt toast. I will never forget his response to her. Honey, I love burnt toast. Later that evening, I went to bed and my dad came over to kiss me goodnight. I asked him if he really did like burnt toast. He hugged me and he said, your mother has had a difficult day and she is really tired. She went out of her way to prepare this meal for us. Why blame her and hurt her? Burnt toast never hurt anyone, but words can be very painful. She's got me thinking. Isn't it beautiful?
Blimey.
You gobsmacked.
No, I can still taste burnt toast. Yeah.
I thought it was a lovely toast.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it is.
You know, we all have to appreciate it.
His toast is burnt.
But I love you, honey.
Yeah. Couldn't he just make some toast himself that wasn't burnt? That would have been the easy answer, wouldn't it, really?
Very good picture of some burnt toast.
It is,
well.
Look.
That's very burnt.
Yeah, show us. Oh, blimey, that's burnt. That's not burnt. That's frazzled.
But I thought it was really, really lovely. And it just got me thinking.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's not perfect, because it's the intention to do well that counts. No one's perfect.
That is very true.
And it is the Absolutely. Business Bunker show. It's not the Mindset Matters show. So, yeah. Okay.
No. I fully understand the sentiment and what he was trying to say behind it. I just don't think burnt toast is worth it myself.
No. I'd say I love you if you gave me burnt toast.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's a kind gesture.
What, burnt toast?
No.
Wouldn't you prefer flowers and a box of chocolates?
No.
Yeah,
flowers is a waste of money.
You fibber.
Burnt toast is coming to the studio.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I'll stick to my Dutch shortcakes, thank you.
Yeah, I just bought you this 3 slices of burnt toast. Oh, I love you. I don't think that worked. No, you're not convincing me at all, Zina. You're really not.
I'll work on it when we're having the cheesy tunage.
Well, I'm going to play the cheesy tunage in just a moment. Now then. There's lots of people trying to second-guess my cheesy tunages these days, yeah. And everybody, when I said that Jason was going to be our first guest, everybody went, I know what you're going to play. I know what you're going to play.
Mm.
So what do you think I was going to play? What do you think?
Well, it's normally going to be George Formby when I'm cleaning windows.
Well, everybody said, you know, you're going to play George, aren't you? George Formby, cleaning windows.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought, well, that's going to be too obvious. And so I was looking around for something to play, and I thought, you know, Windows of My Mind and all kinds of things like that. And then I came across a track called Cleaning Windows.
Seriously, Cleaning Windows?
Cleaning Windows, yeah. But it's not by George Formby. It's Van Morrison.
Ooh.
And it is awesome. Listen to this track.
From across the street, got in my nose. Yeah, we carried our letters down the street with the Royal Iron Gate Rose. I went home and listened to Jimmy Rogers in my lunch break. The shop on the corner and went straight back to work. Oh, Sam was up on top and I was on the bottom with the V. We went for lemonade and Paris buns at the shop and broke for tea. That's it. Inside out, I was blowing saxophone on the weekend in a down joint. What's my life? I'll have to be cleaning windows. Take my time. I'll see you when my love grows. I'm a
number 36.
Independent financial advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. That was Van Morrison, Cleaning Windows. What a beautiful track that is.
Well done for finding it. Yeah. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, but you'd heard it before, Jason.
I have heard it before.
You've probably heard all the window-related tracks, mind.
Yeah, there's been times where you have to try and move away from the George Formby. So
yeah.
You have a search around, and it's surprising what you can come up with.
Yeah, absolutely. I really was reluctant to play when I'm playing in Windows, because it's not a very good track anyway, is it?
Not really.
Yeah, but it would have been the default track. But luckily we avoided it.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, and it's a pleasure now, as you've heard, to welcome Jason Morrell onto the Business Bunker Show. Jason is from Jade Window Cleaning. Jason, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you for still being well.
Yeah, well, I think you were ill for quite some time.
Yeah, I wasn't too bad, actually.
But you were
I tested positive, but I come through it okay. There was people around me that were suffering a lot more than I was.
So. Yeah, sure.
So yeah. I'm quite grateful for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's affected people in very different ways. Yeah. When I had it, I had no symptoms whatsoever. Other people I know had really bad symptoms. Yeah. Anyway, we weren't here to talk about that. We've had enough of talking about COVID for the last 2 years. We're here to talk about Jason and his business. So kick us off, Jason. Tell us a bit about you. Tell us a bit about your background and where you came from.
Well, a bit about me. So I'm originally from Bermondsey in South London.
Yep.
And I've lived out in
A Millwall boy.
I am a Millwall boy because it's default if you come from Bermondsey.
Yeah.
You have to be a Millwall boy, I'm afraid.
Yeah, yeah.
All to do with the footy, then.
It's all to do with the football. Yeah. Don't hold
it could have been, or it could have been the Sarsen's Vinegar Factory.
Well, there is that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Matchstick Factory. For
exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, but I've lived out Bromley and Kent Way for a long, long time now. Mm. What do you want to know about me? I've worked my way up through various businesses over the years.
Mm.
And then I got to a point in my life where I decided, do you know what? I am fed up with making everybody else money, and it's time to do this for myself.
Yeah,
And that's pretty much what I did.
And when did you make that decision, Jason?
Funny enough, it's the business's anniversary yesterday, 8 years.
8 years ago.
8 years ago.
Fantastic. So
congratulations.
Eight years ago, you decided to set up in business. Now then, I want to pursue this before we talk about what your business is and what it does and all those good things, because there's lots to talk about. But the listeners can be very interested in how your journey unfolds. Mm. So, were you working in this industry when you decided to set up your business, or was this a completely new thing?
No, I was working in the industry. I'll take my hat off to people that get out there and go from scratch with something they've never done and make a success of it. That in itself is amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm also a big believer in sticking to what you know. If you want to be successful, start off with something that you actually know about, because then you're getting rid of a lot of other issues that can come away, because you don't have to learn so much about what you do.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
And I've been in the industry for a long, long time.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it is how most people start a business, is they take whatever their skill set is in paid employment and move into self-employment or starting their own business.
Absolutely,
and
that's
certainly how I started originally. It got a bit skew-whiff from there, but that's how I started, at least. So you have been working in the industry. 8 years ago, you thought, you know what, let's do something for myself. So you set up your business. Just talk us about how the initial days of setting up the business, what happened? How did you get your first clients? Is it something you know, this is, again, it's one of the benefits of already working in an industry, isn't it? Because you know people and you know clients.
Without a doubt. I would never say I wasn't lucky, because it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's a big step to make as well, because it comes with a lot of risks.
Yeah.
But I was lucky to the extent that, because I've been in the industry for a long time, I have got a lot of contacts.
Yeah.
And I know... It's quite a small industry, believe it or not. It's a big industry, but it's quite a small industry. Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where the company that I was working for, and I'd been with them at that point for probably about 7 or 8 years, I could see they were starting to head towards some problems. There was definitely some problems on the horizon. We had a lot of national contracts doing a lot of retail and things like that.
Right.
And I could see that they was possibly coming to an end, and it was definitely a case of all their eggs in one basket, and if that had gone, the company was going to be in trouble.
Yeah,
which means I'm going to be in trouble.
Yep.
So I've always wanted to work for myself, but it's one of them things in life where other things take precedent and you have to go on with this, and it's not the right time to make that jump.
Yeah.
But now it got to the point where I thought, this is an opportunity. You either grab an opportunity or you let it slip you by and it might not come again.
I think you've nailed a very important point there, Jason. That as you say quite rightly, lots of people hanker after starting their own business, and year after year after year they think about it, and there's never a really good time. You know, they got family, they got mortgages, how do I make? What normally happens is a change point.
Absolutely, that's it. That's what changes it.
Yeah, and then you go, there's no choice here. I've got to do this, otherwise, I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
and I think that's a normal kind of thing.
Mm.
But even more so over the last couple of years, because, you know, we've had so much disruption with business that, it's forced change on people all over the place. But you did it 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. did it 8 years ago. You know, a lot of people say if you've got a business and it survives the first couple of years, then you're on the right track. So 8 years in, and it has not been easy. It was difficult pretty much from the off. Quite quickly, a couple of things went wrong. I set it up with a business partner. Right. That changed quite quickly. I had a lot of personal issues of illness with my mum and my sister to deal with at the same time, which made it very difficult.
Yeah.
But once you start on this path, you have to...
You've got to keep going, yeah.
It becomes everything. And if you don't give it everything you've got, it will fail.
Yeah.
So it was the right decision. It, as you said earlier, I should have made it years ago. I should have done it 10, 15 years ago. But I was at the point working for a big company called Mighty, and I was running their whole division.
Right.
You know, it was a decent wage. I enjoyed it. It was good banter with everybody. We was travelling all over the country, so I was quite enjoying what I was doing at the time. But then you get to a point where it's like, this is happening, I can see this is going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm making other people money. Without being pretentious in any way, I knew that I actually knew more than they did. They didn't come from the same background as me. This is the time to get out and do it. If it don't work, it don't work. But if you don't try, you're never going to know.
And not targeting one particular company, but it is very true. As businesses grow and become big corporations, they can quite often lose touch with not only their customers, HSBC.
Was that a little too?
Yeah. No,
you're not going to go on a rant, are you?
No. I've fed up ranting about them. They're just idiots. But they can lose touch with their customers, and they lose touch with the business as well. You know, you end up getting layers of middle management that maybe don't even come from the industry, or, you know, have not worked at the coalface in an industry for many, many years, and don't really know what it, you know. And then when the proverbial doo-doo hits the fan, they're lost.
Absolutely.
They don't know what to do.
It makes such a difference, in my opinion, to how you run a business, in how involved you've been in doing what it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, I've been doing it for years and years, and I've done everything there is to do. There isn't anything I haven't done within commercial window cleaning, which gives me a really, really strong background on dealing with clients, finding work, how to handle and deal with employees, because I know what's capable of being done. And I know if you're pushing it a little bit too far or you're asking a bit too much, which sometimes you have to do when you start a business.
Yeah.
So it just gives you a really, really solid grounding.
Okay. Well, let's move on now and talk about what it is you actually do.
Okay.
So
he cleans windows, didn't you know that?
Yeah. whilst playing a ukulele?
Absolutely.
I prefer to be Van Morrison, a hard-working man cleaning windows. we are a commercial window cleaning company. I make a point of saying commercial because predominantly 80% of the business is based around what's classed as a commercial job.
Right.
So it's office blocks, schools, gyms. Apartment blocks are a big thing now. As we all know, apartment blocks are being thrown up here, there and everywhere, which causes all sorts of problems for everybody. Perfectly honest, it's great for me. You build it and we'll come. You know, they've all got glass, they've all got windows. Legally, they have to be maintained and cleaned, and somebody's got to do that. So that's happy days for what I'm doing.
Right.
We do residential. We didn't, but I kept getting asked in the local area. There's a value to it. So we started to take that on. We don't advertise it. We don't look for it. People have come to us and asked for it. And that has grown on its own.
Or we win it.
Or you win it in charity competitions that we get involved in. Seeing that's won twice, I think. So that is quite an important part of the business because it keeps your name out there.
Yeah.
And you might be cleaning somebody's house. You have no idea what they do for a job. You have no idea what their background is. They could be running one of the biggest buildings you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as long as they're aware that you're not just a man with a bucket, which can be a bit of the sort of way people look at it sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
It can help progress the business.
Okay. I've got a story to tell you in a minute.
Everybody's got a story about window cleaner.
It's not that one. It's not Robin Asquith, who has been on this station two or three times, I have to tell you. No, it's not that kind of one. It's a slightly offbeat one. Well, I'll tell you about it in a minute. But when you're, so I want to talk about the technicalities of cleaning office blocks and apartment blocks and stuff like that, because they're quite tall, and your ladder doesn't go up more than about two floors, right?
Now, ladders are a thing of the past in pretty much every respect where possible.
Right. Yeah. So what's your main vehicle, if you like, for cleaning these large establishments?
Well, the industry changed some years ago now, over to what's known as the pure water-fed pole system.
Yeah.
So, as you rightly say, back when I was doing it, it was ladders. You know, we'd get up with a ladder and a bucket and some tools, or we'd be hanging out of windows. I mean, I spent years hanging out of a window. You'd have a harness, you'd hook it on, you're literally getting out 15, 20 stories up on a windowsill.
Yeah.
And that's how we did it. America had been using the pure water-fed pole system for a long, long time.
Right.
Then they introduced it to England. At the time, I was working with a large company, one of the first to utilise it. We started using it. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I thought, what on earth is this? This is ridiculous. It's never going to work. It was like holding up a massive pole, which at the time were very heavy, with a broom head on the end, squirting out a bit of water. And this is never going to work. It's never going to take off. But it's really advanced over the years. So now they're all very graphite poles. They're light, they're rigid, they're strong, and it's all about the purification of the water.
Right.
We still now get people go, you're just squirting some water on a window. How does that clean a window? If you just squirt water on a window, it's going to look horrendous.
Yeah.
It's all about the purification of the actual water you use. It's like any business. It's about the tools that you're using.
Mm.
It gets quite technical. It bonds with the dirt. Water wants to attract the dirt. If it's been purified, it naturally pulls all the dirt back in, pulls all the dirt away, rinses off, dries up, absolutely clean and sparkly, as long as it's done properly.
So you don't use soap suds anymore?
No chemicals at all.
Right. Okay.
Not so. If you're doing internal stuff, we still do internals and gyms and things like that. You can't start having water rushing down on the insides.
Yeah.
That's where we then use what we call old school window cleaning.
You know,
you've got your squeegee, your bit of washing up liquid in a bucket. And again, that's becoming a dying art. Because of the change of how window cleaning is done, a lot of people have got involved.
Right.
And in no disrespect whatsoever, they're doing what they do and they're doing it great, but they haven't got some of these skills that you need to do other sort of work, so they tend to walk away from it. Someone says to me, I need this doing by hand, could be a great big office block.
Yeah.
They won't take it on because it's not something they can do, because it's not as easy as it looks. Doing this, you can either do it or you can't, you know.
Well, it's quite hard because you've got to be quite fit, I think, to be a window cleaner in terms of have strength and
absolutely
that skill, because it's not just wash on, wash off, is it?
No.
I'll quickly tell you my story.
Oh, he's eager.
I'll try and make this as quick as possible. Back in the 80s, I used to work for a very well known investment bank, and I was head of IT in London. And I had a background in very specialised skills in IBM systems. And I got a call one weekend from New York saying, we've got a problem here. Every Monday morning, our systems go down. Can we send you the fault logs? And can you have a look at them? Yeah, fine. So they sent me all these fault logs, and I spent the weekend going over them. I thought, I can't find anything wrong here. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. And I said, I can't work it out. And they said, well, can you come over and see us? So I went to Heathrow, got a plane, flew to New York, went to the office was on Broad Street, which runs parallel to Wall Street. And I get in the lift and I go up to the building and I see all the technical people there, and we walk around, we discuss everything. I spent a day talking to everybody about it anyway. Couldn't figure out what it was. And I said, when does this happen? And they said, well, it'll happen first thing in the morning because that's when it always happens. Okay. So I got in early. I went into the machine room and I stood there and I'm thinking, and I put a tracker on it to see what the system was doing. And I started the tracker running, and I looked up just as it fell over. And it fell over just as a cradle came down the outside of the building, washing the windows, because it had an infrared link across the street. And as the cradle came down, and they were using soap, which is why I asked you, they soap-sudded the windows, the link broke.
Broke
the link. They washed it down, carried on, and of course, the machine had packed up, and nobody could see why. Well, it's a bloke in the cradle, mate.
So you had to go all the way from England over to America.
Yeah, to tell him.
To the window cleaners.
It's the window cleaner, mate. That's the problem.
So getting back to that, we do still obviously use, it's not all the pure water fed pole, so we do still do cradle work, and we do a lot of rope access.
Yeah.
That's all done by hand.
Right.
So that's still done with tools and stuff
I'm fascinated by this. When you do that cradle work, do the buildings themselves have the cradles, or is it something you...
So they have the cradles, and it's their responsibility to maintain them and things like that, which is why a lot of buildings now don't do that, which is why rope access has become so prevalent, because it's more cost effective.
Right.
There's a lot of money involved in maintaining cradles.
Yeah,
these are people are getting in these and hanging off of buildings.
Yeah.
They've got to be spot on.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you do like an investigation beforehand? And
everybody has to be trained. So if we go and do a building and we're going to go and use a cradle, regardless of whether we've used a similar cradle on a different building, every single time you have to be trained. So they'll come and they'll give you specific training on that cradle. You have to pass some tests, make sure you know what's what, and all the safety things that are involved before you start using that sort of thing. Because it does go wrong. It has gone wrong over the years with cradles. There's been some really quite horrific accidents in
there. I've seen that film as well.
What, the Hand That Rocks at Cradle?
Yeah. It was always Bruce Willis that got tipped out of a cradle for some reason.
I was stuck in a cradle at Croydon on Delta Point, which used to be the BT headquarters. So their cradle was what's called a non-fixed cradle. It wasn't fixed to anything on the roof or the runners. It's basically held up by the weight of the unit, and then it run freely across, which is always a little bit disconcerting when it's not connected to something.
Right.
And I had a fella in with me this day. It was his first day. He'd never been in a cradle. We'd gone over. We'd probably gone down two floors. It just stopped. Everything stopped working. Right. So we're stuck now. And we were stuck for 8.5 hours.
In the cradle.
At which point this poor fella was literally wanted to climb up the bonding and get out. He was starting to lose it a little bit. But we got out in the end. So, these things do happen sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So the alternative to a cradle is?
Is rope access, abseiling. So we do a lot of that now. So with that, they'll either put specific fittings and eye bolts on buildings now for you to connect to that are obviously tested, fully connected to deal with the weight that needs to happen. Or we use our own weight system called A-frames. So basically you'll take a system up to the roof, you load it up physically with weights, and it's not rocket science. If that's heavier than what the downforce of the weight is, it's not going to fall.
Right.
So it's just all about knowing what weight to use and this, that and the other.
Yeah, okay.
We fit eye bolts, we do all that sort of thing, and we test them as well. And then you hook up with all your stuff, your ropes, your harnesses.
And you sail.
And off you go.
And throw yourself off the roof.
See, Jason knows I want to do some abseiling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
I want to throw myself off one of the buildings.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's a controlled descent, Z. We're not throwing yourself off.
I'm a butterfly. I will flutter.
Yeah, but are you going to do some cleaning on the way down?
No.
See, we're not going to waste the time. If you're there, you might as well do some work.
Yeah, it is a sponge, is a bucket. Do your stuff. Yeah.
I haven't got the muscles for it.
Yeah,
you'll be fine.
Jason, that's fascinating insight into the world of commercial cleaning. Thank you for that. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. If people want to find out more about Jade Window Cleaning, what's the best way to do that?
Look up our website, brand new website we've just finished doing, so that'll be great if you take some time to look at it. So that's all the W's, jadewcss.com.
Fantastic. There is a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website that will stay on there forever. So if you didn't write that down, just go into the website and you'll find it right there under today's show, 573. Jason, thank you so much for that. A really fascinating insight. I love hearing about things like this, things I know nothing about. Yeah, I especially love hearing things that I know nothing about, because it kind of adds some stuff, And then you can rock up down the pub and go, let me tell you about window cleaning. I know all about it.
I know, it's brilliant, isn't it?
I spent 10 minutes listening to a guy tell me, so I know, you don't want your cradles anymore. No, mate, you want an abseiling kit.
Yeah, you don't want newspaper and normal water. You want this purifying.
You want a graphite pole, that's what you need, mate.
Yeah, and it's not just water they're squirting on your windows. Yeah, it's that and the other. So you've got it all there.
Yeah,
all
it's distilled water out. Yeah, yeah, it's Evian or something.
Yeah, please don't go using your Evian and wasting that. No, it is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Is, who would have thought, you know, there's so much into cleaning a window?
Yeah, I mean, it's like any business, isn't it? You know, if you're an expert in that business, the technology changes, the way that you do things, the materials that you use, you know, glass itself has changed over, you know, many years, you know.
Yeah, there's also, I could go on forever, there's all different sorts of glass that reacts differently to certain sorts of water and will finish in a certain way.
Yeah.
And window cleaning is one of them things that people don't think about. You know, a lot of people living in apartment blocks now, they don't think about it. They do get up, they go to work, they come home, their windows have been cleaned. They don't really know. They don't really know. Mm. It's one of them things until people look, which with the rope access, a lot of people do. It's like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Or if you've got a 70-foot pole from the floor, they're like, that's fascinating. How are you holding that up there? And how does that work?
Yeah. Do you know what was really interesting? Yeah, sorry. Is because I remember telling you this, you know, on Amazon you can buy, and I actually went out and bought one, and then I was told not to use it because I might have killed somebody with it, was the magnetic ones that you put, look, he's turning his eyes up at me already.
Yeah.
You put the magnet on the inside, you put the other one, and then you wipe it, because obviously in my apartment, I can't get to the outside because the window doesn't open. So how do I clean it?
Off the roof. What's the matter with you, abseil woman?
Well, now I've got someone who's going to teach me abseiling.
Please, they are for fish tanks, and that's all they're good for.
I live in a fish tank.
It's interesting. People do strange things. I mean, I came across an office block not a million miles from here that experimented with spraying their windows with nanotechnology. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you come across that?
Yeah.
Which rejects water. So basically the idea is you spray water out and it just flops off. Mm-hmm. And they did loads of demos where they'd spray this stuff on a piece of ground and then fill it with water, you know, and act as a pond. I don't know if the technology's moved on since they did it. The problem with that was that it would deflect the water off, but it didn't actually clean the windows.
No.
You would be surprised the amount of more on the residential domestic side where people have had their extensions done with all these nice fancy skylights that they all have now that are quite difficult to get to. No, that shouldn't be needing cleaning. I paid all this money for self-cleaning glass, and then they need us to go and clean it. Because it's exactly as you say. It might keep it cleaner for longer.
Yeah.
It doesn't clean itself at the end of the day. You're always going to need a man with some tools to go there and deal with it.
Yeah, and birds have a tendency to go over it anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sorry, I've just got a tweet in from Sarah Marsh College. She goes, "You're all crazy talking about throwing yourselves off the top of a perfectly sound building." Yeah, she's one I'm trying to convince to abseil with me.
Oh, really? Don't do it, Sarah. Don't do it.
No, she's going to do it. Give her a couple of glasses of wine. She'll be fine.
You never know.
I have tried abseiling.
Have you?
Where did I do that? Buxton in Derbyshire. Ah. I don't know why I did it in Buxton in Derbyshire, but I did. Yeah, a long time ago.
Did you enjoy it?
I think I'm not particularly brilliant with heights.
Okay, not the best thing for you to have tried.
So I was a bit reluctant, but you know, I walked down the outside of a rock, quite a tall rock. And I did it a couple of times, so I did do it.
Well, well done.
Cool.
Yeah. Well done. It's good to push. It's good to push your boundaries.
Out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, yeah. It was a long time ago, though. Right, let's crack on. Neville has been on again. Neville Gaunt, with a follow-up to his earlier tweet about writing stories for his book. And they say, "Thanks, Paul and Zena, a much appreciated shout out." And he's saying, "You don't have to be a literary genius, by the way." He said, "Just have a story to share, around 1,200 words, and you'll then be an international published author like 24 people became with the first book."
Well, I've got some stories that I could definitely share.
So yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Drop me a message. And
Go for it. Yeah, drop Jason a message. Neville's in I can't speak.
No.
Bexley. He lives in Bexley.
Okay, yeah. It's not a million miles from
local. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds really interesting. Something I might look up.
Martin Reeves has been on from Collector's Buddy. He says, "Vanilla Web, Zenat, please can I have a Business Bunker shout out? I'm listening live today." That's Martin Reeves of Collector's Buddy. Martin's a really fascinating character. What he does is he buys collectibles, toys and things like that, Lego stuff from eBay and Gumtree and places, and then he sells them at a profit for charity.
Fantastic. Oh, wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Give him a follow.
I will do, definitely.
Collector's Buddy is his Twitter handle.
We've got, this is going back to the deers and the Bousson. Sorry, I'm going all French here. Sarah's saying that I hit a deer on the Barnum Abbey Road, Tunbridge Wells, back in 2005. Came out of nowhere, was awful, killed the deer and killed my car too. Couldn't drive down the road for months. Youch.
Well, I hope you put the deer in the boot. I mean, a bit of venison. A bit of fresh venison.
Exactly. Don't waste it.
That's true. It's expensive stuff.
It is. You've done it. You might as well, make the best of it.
Some people live off a roadkill in certain places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Absolutely, I mean, yeah. The only trouble is getting rid of their bicycles.
I'm speechless.
I actually dread the tweets that are going to come in following that remark.
Did I go too far with that?
Never. Sorry, I'm trying to catch up. I've never had so many tweets coming in my life.
Tracy Ferguson, Tassie64 on the Twitter said, hi, Paul and Zenak. Just got in and tuned in. Just listening to your first guest. So fantastic. Thank you, Tracy.
Regular listener. Yeah. Tracy.
Yeah.
What have we got here? I think we're looking at the same ones here.
Yeah, well that's okay. You go for it.
There we go. No, you're all right.
Yeah, I'm just catching up on my tweets here.
Well, if someone doesn't say something, I'm going to start cleaning, singing George Formby. So
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, here we go. Channel Radio 1 liked a tweet you were mentioned in. I don't know what I'm reading here. What will this lot get up to? I'll be the proverbial fly on the radio wave while listening into the Business Bunker show from Moon with Vanilla and Zenat.
Oh, that's Sarah. Yeah, I just saw that. Yeah. Right, yeah. I want to tell you about this. The Business Awards Kent 2022. Applications are now open for the Ashford, Canterbury, Maidstone or Tunbridge Wells Business Awards. Each of those awards has the following categories in them. Customer service, innovation, startup, that's a company that's less than 3 years old, small business, businesswoman of the year, best family business or best construction business. Okay, and those categories appear in all four of those area awards. You can find out all about it. It's free to enter. www.businessawardskent.co.uk, and there's a presentation dinner taking place in December that will recognise all the awards winners of those different locations around Kent. I'm looking forward to that as well, because I MC all the awards events around here. And I haven't done any for 2 years. It's been a nightmare.
It'd be good to get back at
it. It'd be good. I got my first one in June, which is the Seven Oaks Business Awards, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Why is there no Businessman of the Year award?
Yeah.
Well,
they tend...
Careful, we're going to start getting their gender identity and all of that coming in.
No,
here comes the politics.
I'm not going to go there.
It was just an observation.
Yeah, I'm not going to go. Don't you start dragging me into these things, Jason.
Do you know what? There's. Do you like air-dried fruit crisps?
Oh, Nims.
Nims, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they good?
Yeah, they are. Nims been on the show 2 or 3 times.
Ah, so the UK's only air-dried fruit crisp manufacturer is celebrating a record year in style after diversification plans landed a major deal with a leading Italian restaurant chain.
Excellent, congratulations.
Nims Fruit Crisps, which received a Queen's Award for Innovation in 2020, has won the contract to supply its tomato salad toppings for use at ZZ's. Ooh, 140 strong estates or venues across the UK and Ireland.
Sounds better than what I come up with out of the air fryer, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's got like more than 5 tonnes of fresh tomatoes are being produced every week at its bespoke facility in Sittingbourne. Sittingbourne's Kent, isn't it?
Yeah.
With the initial success of the deal resulting in another order for air-dried orange infusion, destined for expensive cocktail menu.
Yeah, when she first launched the business, she had a range of crisps, which were like apple, pear, and various fruit crisps. Mm. And the beauty of them is one, they're not potato, so they have a range of different tastes. And two, they're air fried, which means that they're much healthier than normal crisps because they're not fried in fat or oil or anything like that. Really, really clever idea, and still one of the very few people doing it. A big operation in Kent now.
Is it? Yeah. Are they available in stores as well?
Yeah, you can buy them. But the place I last saw them was McNaid's.
Don't know that.
You don't know McNaid's?
No.
Zenat. What have you been
doing?
You've not lived.
Zenat didn't know Sittingbourne was in Kent.
So
All right. I'm a Bromley girl. I don't kind of go out. This first time I've come out to, not first time I've come out to Ashford. I mean, I come out to Ashford. I didn't even know Ashford was in Kent until I started working here.
You know what? Slightly off subject, but it's really strange how that happens. I had to go to Essex literally just the other side of the bridge the other day. I'd been around looking for a second vehicle. And I was dealing with a young lad, and he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "From Bromley." He'd literally never heard of it. Where is Bromley? I've never heard of it. And I'm like, this makes no sense at all. You're in Bromley, you think everybody knows where Bromley is. He's just the other side of the Dartford Bridge, and he's never heard of Bromley. So it's very strange.
It's incredible, isn't it? Mm. Although it is a bit confusing, because Bromley's a London borough in Kent.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we do get that little bit of confusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
we're Kent.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to debate that.
I own Jobs in Kent, their recruitment portal, and we made a decision very early on to include Bromley, Bexley, Orpington and all those London boroughs in Kent because mm-hmm. most of the population still believe they live in Kent,
mm-hmm.
yeah, even though they're London boroughs. And, you know, they're still, to this day, one of the most popular jobs areas that we get a lot of traffic for. But it's funny how people don't know. Normally have a laugh with Jules with pronouncing the names of places in Kent, like Item, which she insists on calling Egerton. Yeah. And the proverbial Westmorland, which we get Westmalling. Yeah.
And then you get people still go Eltham.
Yeah.
When it's Eltham. I know that's further into London, but you're dead right. People say things very much
different. Yeah. You've got Greenwich and Greenwich.
Yeah.
Greenwich.
Not many people know this, but Greenwich, Lewisham, and all the places around there, Blackfriars, were all part of Kent originally as well.
Really?
Yeah. London's been gradually appropriate, and they're after Dartford now.
Yeah, London just expands, and it will continue to expand.
It will.
It swallows up our Kent countryside.
Yeah.
Paul, you surprise me with all the knowledge you've got. I don't know where you get it from. Guests
on the show. I'm an expert in everything, me. I'll tell you all about window cleaning later. Don't you worry, love.
Please do.
And if you want to know anything about cooking toast, I'm your man.
Hang on. The toast is mine.
Not anymore.
If you want burnt toast, I'm your man.
Yeah.
Are you into scuba diving?
I've never tried it.
I have been scuba diving, but not for a long time. Yeah. I went in the Maldives about 20 years ago.
Very nice.
Maldives. I call it Maldives.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
That was a really good link there.
Yeah.
So Blue Ocean Diving wants to say thank you to all those who have worked so hard to keep us safe. You've all done the hard work. Now that world is opening up, it's time to relax and have some fun. Blue Ocean Diving is offering key workers and frontline workers the opportunity to learn to scuba dive for less with 50% off a scuba diving experience. Try dive. God, that's a bit of a tongue twister.
Yep.
Plus a further 25% off the cost of their full paddy open water course. Blue Light card holders, defence discount holders and teachers and education workers are eligible for our Blue Light discounts. As a thank you for their support throughout the pandemic and to help our local area, we have also decided to extend this I can't read. I need to clean my glasses.
Why do you think I gave you that one?
Cheeky. Generous Blue Light discount to members of Kent County Council and Medway Council. So if you want to find out more information, you can pop over to www.blueoceandiving.co.uk. Or you can email them at scuba@blueoceandiving.co.uk.
Fantastic.
And they're based in Maidstone. I love scuba diving. I've got my advance, yeah. I can't wait to go get back on the plane and go somewhere.
Right.
Don't see it happening this year, though.
Okay. I haven't been since I went to the Maldives.
Maldives.
That's him. I got attacked by a shark there.
Did you?
Yeah, tiger shark.
You are a bit tasty though, aren't you?
Yeah, something like that. Mm. Yeah. It took a chunk out of the boat I was in. Yeah.
Have you rehearsed this, you two? Did you practice this?
I've never met her before.
I only got the phone call last night.
Anyway, we're going to save you from any more of that nonsense by joining the Channel Radio Newsroom. When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to. We're going to hear from Sam Fairchild of Hearing Matters. Hearing Matters. Let's join the Channel Radio.